morning. I'm going to ask you to read along with me in unison. This story, just to kind of give you a little bit of context for that, Jesus had been crucified, and he had been put in a tomb, and the disciples heard that his body was gone. They hadn't seen him, but he was gone. And so they were discouraged. They didn't know what to do. And at one point, they were in the upper room and they were behind locked doors because they were afraid what would find out if people knew that they were followers of Jesus. Since they had crucified Jesus, they might crucify them too. And so they were afraid. Peter one morning woke up and he said, "You know what? I'm going fishing. I've had enough of this." And the other disciples said, "Well, we're going with you." And so they were out on the lake fishing all night, but they weren't able to catch anything. And it's in that context that we read this story. Let us read. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lamb." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Now, I need to qualify something. I said they had not seen Jesus since he was resurrected. They said, yes, they had seen him. This is the third time he had appeared. So I want to make that correction as I share this message this morning. Do you love me? Now, that is a question that we all ask other people. We probably ask that to God. But for God to ask that of us, do you love me? What would your answer be to that this morning? Do you love God? I think you would say with me, of course. Yes, we do. Well, let's hear how this message might play it out and why Jesus asked this question to the disciples. But before we start, let me ask you something. Do you like camping? Do any of you like to camp? Or have you camped in the past? Or yeah, I see at least a hand and a couple nodded heads and a showing. You know, camping has been a pleasant and memorable time for me over the past number of years in my life. I've camped all across the United States. I've camped from Virginia to the ocean of Myrtle Beach to the Great Smoky Mountains in North Carolina, to Oklahoma, to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, to the Grand Canyons in Arizona, to the Redwood Forest in California, to Oregon, to the state of Washington, to the Badlands and the Dakotas, and many other places and travels across the U.S. But do you know, it wasn't just faraway places that I traveled, nor amazing places like the ocean or the Rocky Mountains or the Grand Canyons that I so much remember while I was camping. Rather, it's those beautiful, sacred, remote spots close to home that I remember most. I remember setting up a tent along the riverbank and catching some fish for a delicious supper that night. You know, food always tastes better when you're out camping and you don't have a convenient store to go to or a fast food place or a restaurant. When you're cooking out on the fire and you're in a remote place, and food always tastes better then. But as I was there on the riverbank after supper and the lights began to go dim around me and suddenly become frozen and speechless as I stare silently at the beautifully amazing red and golden colors being painted in the sky by the brush of the setting sun. Unforgettable. And eventually, as the sun disappears and I realize that it become dark and build a campfire, and I lay back and I hear the soothing sounds of the crackling fire, and I look up and I let my soul ponder the awesome display of countless stars sparkling against the black velvet sky. And with a smile in my heart, and I'm at rest and at peace, and I listen to the delightful chirping of frogs singing in the cool evening breeze, and I just know I'm in the presence of God, the one who's created all this that is around me. And while it doesn't get any better than this, you don't have to go out into the wilderness, or you don't have to go camping to experience this. But you do need to find a way not to be distracted by the allure of the world and its entertainment and its noise and its busyness. Think about that for a moment. Are you distracted this morning? And is that interfering with your worship this morning? Do you know that you are in the hands of God? That you are in the presence of God right here, right now, at this moment? And wow, God is calling you to let go of the things that you carry around with you every day, the things that are on your mind, that you worry about, that you concentrate on, that things that you brought in here this morning that is cluttering up your mind and your heart and your soul and your strength, that causes you not to recognize that God has you in His hands. God is here and is calling to you and to me. Our Bible reading this morning is about a kind of camping trip. The disciples were on a fishing trip. As we read the scripture, they had been fishing all night, but they didn't catch anything. But here comes Jesus. At first, they didn't recognize who He was. He calls out from the shore, "You caught any fish?" They said, "No." And He says, "Well, then what you need to do, throw your nets on the other side of the boat where you are right now." And I can just imagine Peter and the others saying, "Oh God, we're fishermen by trade. That's what we do. We know how to fish. What's this guy doing saying, oh, all we got to do is throw it?" Okay, we'll do it. Boom. The nets were full. Amazing. They listened to Jesus even when they didn't think he knew what he was talking about, even when they didn't know who he was. And they had this great catch. God says to you, I love you. If we would just listen to him, even if we don't recognize it's him talking to us, what a great thing could happen in our heart and our life this morning. Well, they had caught this great fish and they come ashore and Jesus is there cooking breakfast for them over a campfire. He's got fish grilling over the charcoal fire and he's got bread on the grill, and after fishing all night, you know they're hungry. And they sit around this fire and they listen to Jesus talking and sharing about life and God. And their bellies are full and they're excited about the big catch of fish and what is happening. And they're not hungry anymore, and they're listening to the crackling fire and they're feeling the cool breeze of the Sea of Galilee. And they're talking with Jesus who's risen from the tomb, and they know now that they're in the presence of God. They know that this is a special moment. And then it becomes quiet. And Jesus asked them an important question. Do you love me? Jesus asked Simon Peter that question three times. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, says Simon. And then Jesus responded to him and he said, then feed my sheep. But Jesus turns around and he says, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Simon says again. And then Jesus said, then tend my sheep. And right after that, Jesus says, do you love me? And Simon was distressed by this time, and he said, you know I do. Then Jesus' word says, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. What is Jesus saying to the disciples and to us? You know, that's our biblical statement, mission statement, the work to which we as Christians must dedicate our lives. The church, the reason Lakeside Church exists here in this place at this time is for this reason. The church and every Christian, every person here today, has a responsibility to feed lambs and tend sheep and to take care of God's flock. Are we doing that? Why did Jesus ask Simon, even when he answered, why did he continue to ask them the same question? And the question is, are we loving Jesus? Are we loving Jesus by obeying him that way? What are we doing to feed lambs? What are we doing to tend sheep? What are we doing to take care of God's flock? That is a question I feel that we need to not only hear, but to answer. Perhaps we should first ask, what does it mean to feed lambs and tend sheep? Jesus, of course, he's using lambs and sheep as a metaphor to talk about people. I want you to feed people. I want you to tend people. I want you to take care of people. He's calling us to feed and to tend and take care of the need of people. But what kind of people? In Jesus' day, shepherds tending flocks of sheep, that was a very common sight. Jesus cannot He pointed out sheep cannot defend themselves against predators such as bears or wolves or from being caught into the snares of thickets. To survive, sheep require leadership. They require protection. So sheep are vulnerable, and even more so if they're young, such as a lamb. A lamb is a baby sheep. It's one that is dependent upon its mother for its care and for its feeding. A lamb without its mother, without that kind of care, isn't going to last very long. So we are told to take care of those who are helpless. I remember a camping trip to the Great Smoky Mountains when I was younger, and we saw some black bears as we were driving through the Smoky Mountains, you know, and the cars would stop along the drive, and my uncle, he rolled down the window, and he held out some bread outside the window, and so this black bear came up, and he had it, and he rolled the window right up to it, and the bear took the bread, and he rolled the window all the way up, and I could remember seeing this big black bear with his paws up on the window, and I was scared to death. And as he was standing there, it was amazing, but terrifying at the same time. Well, that night we settled into our camp, and I was laying in my sleeping bag in the tent, and I wondered what would happen if that bear came to our tent. Well, that night, sure enough, a bear not only came to the tent, but he came inside the tent. I jumped up and I began running around in the tent, and the bear was chasing me. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but I was dreaming. And I thought I was being chased. But as I ran around the tent, those that I was waking up thought I was the bear. And so we were in this great fiasco of screaming and hollering and people trying to get out of the tent. And it was crazy. It was bizarre. But my dad finally grabbed a hold of me, and he woke me up, and he got control of the situation. And everything got calm. And I soon felt safe and in the loving care of the one who would make everything safe and sound again. And that's what God wants us to experience today as we worship. We are in the loving hands and care of a God who can take care of any situation, whether it's imagined or whether it's real. So when Jesus calls Peter and when Jesus calls us to feed lambs and tend sheep, he's calling us to make safe and to take care of the most vulnerable people among us. He's calling us to help the helpless. Through the centuries, the church has been doing that in many different ways. How do we, as a church, how do we feed sheep? Well, first of all, and we must remember and not forget that this is the first thing that the church must do. The church must provide spiritual food. And it does this with worship. It offers the Word of God, and it offers the sacraments, and it offers the presence of God in worship. And we need that first and foremost. If we are not worshiping God every day, see, this is difficult. Sometimes we think we worship God when we come to church. Well, that is a place that the church, and that is what it must be doing. But in our hearts, we need to be worshiping God every day. The church provides that, and I thank God for you being here this morning. I thank God for you and your inspiration to be follow the lead of God, to want to provide this place of worship and to share with those who come a presence of God in a time of worship. When people around the world are starving, however, and drinking from filthy rivers, we ask, maybe the church is not doing all that it should do. Maybe it should be out there digging wells to provide clean water for people. Maybe it ought to be out there helping feed people who are starving. Those are important things. But first and foremost is the starving people for spiritual food. And so we need to devote ourselves not only to the work of feeding empty bellies and providing clean water, but we need to be providing spiritual food and spiritual water. And worship meets that need. Worship meets the need of our relationship with God. Worship transforms us from inside out. Worship is the first work of the church. And when we truly worship and understand our place before God, then we are able to do all the other work that needs to be done in the world. In worship, the weak become strong. In worship, the broken become healed. In worship, those who are lost can find God. So if the church is to feed lambs and to tend sheep, it must first be strong in leading in worship and leading people into the presence of God. That's the first thing we find in feeding sheep. Here's second, what does it mean? It means helping people to understand the Scripture. It's helping people to understand that they need to be in the Scripture. I know that we passed out a couple weeks ago a list so that people could be in the Scripture and read through the Bible this year, and I pray that you're still doing that. But the reason we were encouraging you that is because it is in the Word of God, in the Scripture, that we find nurture for our souls, nurture for our Christian lives. We must be feeding on the Word of God in order to have that food, that spiritual food that we need. So I hope that you have been reading. I hope that you have taken opportunity to do that. And if you haven't, I just hope you'll begin right where you are. You don't have to go back and start over. Just pick up where you are and be in the Word of God every day. That's part of the work of saying, do you love me, Jesus said. And Peter said, well, yes, you know, Lord, I love you. Then feed my sheep. And feeding the sheep is being able to encourage people to be in the Word of God. Feeding lambs means teaching children. Teaching children about Jesus. It means teaching them the great Bible stories. It means praying with our children when we're at church, praying with them daily. Helping them to understand that God loves them and helping them to know what it means to follow Jesus. And here's the third thing. Feeding lambs and tending sheep and caring for God's flock means providing the physical needs of people. Feeding the hungry. Housing the homeless. Digging wells for people without clean water. Teaching people basic sanitation. Providing medical care. Helping in times of disaster. It means establishing justice for the weak and for the oppressed. And Jesus asked, Simon, do you love me? And then he said, yes, I do. And Jesus said, then feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And today Jesus says, Joe, do you love me? Susan, do you love me? Mike, do you love me? Nancy, do you love me? You, do you love me? And then he says, feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Christ says, if you love me, then you will feed my sheep. The point is, the best way to love Christ is to love his sheep. He doesn't want self-righteousness or long flowery prayers, or painfully judging others for the wrong that they do. What does Jesus want? He just wants love, merciful, gracious, forgiving, caring. Love is the authentic sign of discipleship. It's the authentic sign of following Jesus. Love for others is the real symbol of our love for Christ. He wants us to follow him and imitate his loving way. He wants us to understand that love is the most powerful thing in the world. For God is love. And God has created all things. And He wants us to know that love makes all the difference. What matters most? First, to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. And what's next? To love one another. Pray with me. Loving God, we come to You today to thank You for Your love for us in Jesus Christ. Oh God, I lift my heart up to You and I thank You for Your presence, for Your guidance, for Your gift in Jesus. And Lord, for each one of us, we just come to You this morning to say, we want to give ourselves totally and fully to You anew this day, Lord. We want to say, Father, that as we give our hearts to You, that we will know that all things are possible in You. Thank You, Father. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving us Your Son. And may we love You by doing what You have said to us this morning in Your Word, that we will love one another and we will feed Your sheep in that love. Thank You, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What you might be going through or some of the struggles you might feel or what that might be, but God will work through those things to make them good for you. God's love never fails. May you go in the love of God, and may you go with His strong arms around you, guiding you. May you go in peace. God loves you.